Hello, this is Collective Noun. For a high quality program, press 1. You have pressed 2.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Hey, hi, welcome to the show. Dom, you've embarrassed yourself in a bar?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's certainly one way to put it. In fact, that's probably how everyone in the bar would put it. I'm not a big partier. I'm not a big nightlife sort of guy. I'd prefer to be at home with a board game or a cup of tea. That's sort of how I'd like to spend my weekend nights. However, I did go out to a jazz club with a couple of friends, Zach.
Ooh, scat, doo-wop.
Yeah, I might need to work on that a bit more. But
the jazz man.
But yeah, that's it.
What a cool cat.
It's unsurprisingly, it wasn't my idea. I'm not cool enough to come up with that as an idea. However, I did go
You're
along.
You're not cool enough to go to a jazz club.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, I did.
I didn't know the list went that low.
Okay, what's cool in your eyes? What's considered cool?
I don't know. Once you start naming things that are cool, that's the least cool thing you can do.
Okay, well, look, I went along and I went up to the bar to order a drink, and apparently the drink that I ordered is a humiliating thing to order. Now, I didn't know this. I didn't know necessarily what the rules were around what you can and can't order when you go out. But apparently no self-respecting adult, and this is a direct quote, no self-respecting adult should be ordering that. I'll explain what it is very shortly, but I might need some help whether this was a one-off reaction or whether actually what I ordered is something that I should never utter the phrase ever again.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Very exciting news I found out today, Dom. Mm. Not for me, but for you.
Okay, well, this worries me because is this going to turn into some sort of a backhanded prank?
No.
Because anytime you say exciting news for you, last time you did this, the news story was people with big heads might be smarter. And it was about how I have a big head and that's good news for me. Is it?
That was good news for you.
No, yeah.
You get to choose whether you're going to admit to having a big head or you're dumb. What a choice.
What's your news today?
No, you're going to actually love this because you've had a few run-ins with magpies. And anyone who's had before being swept by a magpie, you're going to love this story.
I get targeted by them.
Mm. What would you say if I told you that magpies in Tasmania don't swoop?
What do you mean they don't? That doesn't make sense.
Magpies in Tasmania don't swoop.
Well, what?
And no one knows why.
I know this show goes to Tasmania. Mm. Are you sure that's true?
That's what I have read.
Magpies in Tasmania don't swoop at all.
That's what I read today, Dom. I read that magpies in Tasmania, they don't swoop unless some like very, you know, circumstances like if someone threw rocks at a nest or something, they would swoop. But, you know, the way that we know swooping, just walking by, they don't swoop. Some of the theories are that when magpies first went there, so the grandparents or the great-grandparents of these magpies.
How long does a magpie live? 40 years?
30 years? I don't know. I think we have searched it before, and I have a feeling it was around like 20 to 30.
Okay, so I'm just trying to get which generation it is. Yeah, 25 years. Okay, there we go. So you're probably talking about great-great-great-grandparents.
One of the theories is that those original birds just weren't aggressive.
Interesting.
And so then the ones that were bred from there just aren't aggressive. That's one idea. And that's really the only idea I read in the article. Everyone else is just like, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know why they don't swoop.
I've been to Tassie a bunch of times. Amazing place to go, you know, if you're from the mainland. Pop down there. And the people who live there in Tasmania are just generally friendlier, nicer, more relaxed is what I continually find.
Oh, so do you think it's the lifestyle?
Yeah, 100%.
So the busy magpies on the mainland,
it's
the hustle and bustle of the city.
Oh, well, that's
that gets them a bit TO'd. It's a little bit like road rage.
Yeah, that's it.
You're probably not going to see much road rage in Tasmania either. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Everyone's just a bit more chilled out.
And maybe all the chilled out magpies move down to Tasmania for retirement. After you've raised a few kids, you move down to Tassie for retirement.
Swooping is your younger days. It's a young magpies game.
Well, that's it. But all the older magpies, I don't know, could they fly from the mainland to Tasmania? It's a bit of a flight.
No, I don't think so.
They can catch the Spirit of Tasmania. They can go on the Spirit of Tasmania, the boat.
How have Tasmania not put this in any of their tourist advertising?
Oh, every spring, they would. I know they already have a big influx because people have to go there in winter when it's a bit cold, or go in, you know, summer maybe. I reckon you would dominate the spring tourism industry. If people knew we can go there in spring and we will not get swooped.
Just have an ad on TV of 30 seconds of people getting swooped.
Yeah.
And then a title at the end that says, Tasmanian magpies don't swoop. Boom. Done.
I'd move there. I'm considering it right now.
I'm thinking that. I can see you Googling.
realestate.com.au places in Tassie. Seriously, it's that big a problem for me. Although some magpies hate me so much, I reckon they'd come with me.
Yeah, and maybe then, you know what I mean? Maybe you'd teach them how to swoop.
Yeah, I'd be the introduced, I'd bring an introduced species
and
in.
Then you'd get kicked out of Tasmania.
I'd be exiled from Tasmania on the Spirit of Tasmania. They'd wave me off back to the mainland.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Zach, I had a bit of an awkward moment at a bar the other night. The bartender ended up telling me that I should be ashamed of my drink order. Which is not what you're used to hearing when you...
Was it something that they sell? Is it something that they have in stock? And if
yeah, technically.
Then why should you be ashamed then?
Well, look, okay, I'll tell you, I'll run you through it. So I'm not a big nightlife person, but I'd headed out with some friends to a jazz club, right?
A jazz club?
Yeah, well, what's funny about a jazz club?
Well, do you BYO fedora or do they give you one at the door?
Well, you know, I've had fedoras in the past. I should have brought one from home from my grade 11 collection. Anyway, then I thought, well, I'm out here. I may as well get into it. I'll let loose. I'll have a bit of fun, you know?
Enjoy your head down.
Enjoy the jazz. Maybe have a dance or two while I'm up there as well. And I thought, well...
Did you?
I might have danced briefly. I more danced to the bar.
I'm like just a bit of a jolly walk.
Yeah. Sauntered over to the bar, I suppose you'd say. And I went over there and I thought, well, I'm having a great night. I'm going to order my usual drink that I get.
But you usually prepare it at home, is that correct?
I usually make this drink at home. I've only actually ordered it from a bar maybe twice before, and they were both airport bars, which can be depressing places at times, airport bars. But I went up and I thought, I'll give it a go. I'm just going to order my usual drink. This is quite a trendy place, this particular spot, as much as you'll find it that hard to believe being a jazz club. But I went up and I said to the bartender, can I just have a Bailey's, which, you know, is the milky sort of liqueur. And I said, but can I have that with milk? And he looked at me and he laughed and he said, what do you mean? He'd never heard this.
He's never been trained to do this.
It would be
so
like,
this is a bartender. Mm. Is it the kind of thing they be flipping cocktails around shaking different things?
Yeah. And he looked
so
at me.
They're one of the well-trained bartenders.
Exactly. He looked at me like I'd been at an ice cream shop and said, can I have Vegemite on that or something? Like I've just requested something that's not on the menu and that he doesn't think would work.
Or that you've just thought you're at an ice cream shop. Because I think like a creamy Bailey's is an ice cream flavor.
Well, what I described, he said, what ratio are you talking? And I said, well, you know, when you have cordial as a kid. Right. And you pour a little bit of the undiluted cordial in and you fill it up with water. I said, that's how I have my Baileys. So like,
that's how I have my Baileys.
Yeah.
Baileys drunk. I've never had Baileys before. Is it?
Oh, you're missing out.
How are you meant to have Baileys?
You're meant to just have it straight, I think. Maybe on ice. You're not generally meant to. Some people put it in their coffee.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking it was for. Aren't you meant to kind of... Yeah,
that's
you do
an
it
option,
like that.
But not many people drink it straight with milk, is what I've learned anyway. But here's the thing. So I requested that drink, and I thought, well, I'll give it a go. He laughed at me, and I said, well, can you do it? And
do
he
they
said,
have
I can
milk?
Give it a go. Yeah, of course they got milk. Every place has milk somewhere, right? Okay. Right? So he says, I guess I can give it a go for you. And I said, yeah, so about 1/8 Baileys, 7/8 milk.
Do they know what to put that through as? Well, will they know the price?
It did say, actually, it's funny you said that, it did say miscellaneous. Miscellaneous was what came through. He charged me $14 for it, which I can't tell if that's a good price or I got a bit ripped off. I think he made it really clear, though, the bartender, that he thought it was an embarrassing drink. Because, Zach, he served it to me with a curly straw. And when it came out with a curly straw, I thought, well, they're not serving the hard stuff. You know what I mean?
It's not super masculine.
No, it's not.
A curly straw.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was a delicious drink and he did a great job of it. He was hard on himself. He knew exactly what to do.
You're drinking it. Hang on, was this your first time making this? You've nailed it. The ratio's perfect.
Well, yeah. Look, it is something I normally make at home as a bit of a treat. And it is like a flavoured milk. And I think he's just never... It's not the usual stock that you order at a bar. But I want to know, 13, 10, 60, do people think this is an embarrassing drink?
Let's take a poll.
Because I was talking to my friends afterwards and they were like, oh, I guess it's a bit embarrassing, but embarrassing to get a laugh from a bartender? I don't know. What do you reckon?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really embarrassing.
You wouldn't order that? You wouldn't get any of that?
It feels like something that you'd drink like to help you go to sleep. Some type of like sleeping tonic.
Well, it's an interesting point because like honestly, it does taste like a vanilla milkshake almost, like a vanilla cream.
See,
milkshake.
That's what I was thinking. If you how about this?
Yeah.
Imagine if you invented some alcoholic milkshakes.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Wouldn't that go off?
That probably would go off. That's not a bad idea, actually. And that would be so much cooler. Yeah, I wouldn't have to say Bailey's with milk.
Yeah, because imagine like one of like kind of Instagram-y cool place. I can imagine them having alcoholic milkshakes. Someone's probably done it.
I've probably done it. I'm sure that's probably happened. Anyway, 13, 10, 60. What do you think? Is it an embarrassing drink, Bailey's with extra milk, or did the bartender go hard on me? And if, by the way, I should mention, if people are on my side with this, if people say, hey, they've gone hard on you there, that's not that bad. I guarantee you this coming weekend, I'll be on the town again. I'll be taking my own curly straw and I'll be signing up for a Bailey's with milk.
I've just Googled alcoholic milkshakes. Yep.
That's been done.
BuzzFeed has 26 boozy milkshakes that know how to party. You know, once BuzzFeed are making lists, you're well behind the trend.
Okay, 13, 10, 60. Is Bailey's with milk an embarrassing order at a bar? What I asked for was 1/8 Bailey's, 7/8 milk, because I'm not a big fan of alcohol and I like a flavoured milk.
It's called a milky dom if anyone wants to order it on the weekend.
Well, the bartender served it to me with a curly straw and an umbrella in the drink, which I couldn't help but feel was an indication this isn't a serious drink that we're doing
it's
here.
It's a bit of fun.
But look, 13, 10, 60, do you think it's a good drink? Do you think it is embarrassing?
Do you agree with the bartender? Do you think it's embarrassing?
No, I think let everyone do their own thing. And I actually think it's a bit of fun. It's like a, geez, this guy's up for a bit of fun, isn't he? He's up for some fun and supporting the dairy farmers. I could throw that into it too. If I wanted to.
You could. Let's not muddy the waters, but
we've got Taj in Melbourne. Taj, what are your thoughts? Is it an embarrassing drink or respectable?
I don't reckon it's embarrassing. A man should be allowed to drink whatever a man wants to drink. However, I don't reckon alcohol and milk is the best option for your stomach.
That's true.
What do you mean best option for your stomach? Why is that a bad mix?
I've heard that if you drink alcohol and like milk in a like together, it's not the best for your stomach. I've heard you can have issues afterwards.
Well, were there issues afterwards, Dom?
Well, yes, but there's issues pretty much every day. I'm going to be.
Well, how often do you have the Baileys and milk?
No, not that often. Being completely serious, I have lost the ability to tell when I've had bad food or not, because my gut is bad daily. So
you don't know when you've had food poisoning?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just like,
you can tell me the days where you definitely didn't get food poisoning.
Yeah, yes, I can. There's a few days every month that I mark out where I feel healthy. The rest of the days I don't feel good.
I like that Taj said you should be able to drink whatever you want to drink.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I am thinking about it now. Maybe alcohol can curd the milk or something, maybe?
Well, but does Bailey's have milk in it? It's creamy.
Yeah, it's true.
Does it? No, it couldn't because it's like shelf-stable, isn't it?
Something dairy in it. I'm not entirely sure.
Cream? I don't know.
Zach is in Brisbane. What are your thoughts on my drink order, Zach?
Oh, mate, look, if you're ordering out at a bar, I would probably say that's maybe a bit embarrassing. At home, though, 100% fine with it.
Okay, so if you're at a bar, Zach, and you're with friends, and one of them said, hey, can you get me a Bailey's with milk? You would be too embarrassed to go up to the bartender and order that.
Mate, no, I'd be too embarrassed to be the one drinking it, because to me, that's the night over if you're drinking a Bailey's with milk, I reckon.
Night over's a bit rough. I think the night's just beginning. Give me out more of these, please. I could get through a few cartons of milk by the end of the night.
Bailey's contains about 50% cream from dairy milk, so they're already combining alcohol and dairy, regardless of what you're doing.
So it can't be too bad.
So and really also, what you're doing is just watering it down.
Yeah, that's exactly what
I'm
doing.
Or milking it down.
Yeah.
Diluting it.
Alice in Brisbane, what are your thoughts on this one, Alice?
Well, I think that Bailey's is delicious. And if anyone thinks otherwise, you know, we don't need that negativity in our life, in our world. You know, when my dog passed away last year, sadly, actually, my mum and I toasted some Bailey's together. In you know, memory of the dog. So I think it unites us in a very unique way.
Was the dog's name Bailey?
Oh, no, but his name was Baxter and it starts with a B. Yeah, so
that's true. It's close, Alice. It's close.
No, I agree, Alice. Very few drinks in the world can warm your heart and your palate like a Bailey's can. It's a perfect beverage. Do you have yours milked down, Alice, or do you go straight?
Oh, look, in the past, I've actually just drunk it straight, but I have had it with milk before, and I think the milkiness is just extra delicious, so... Yeah,
Alice is more hardcore than me. Alice can tolerate her Bailey's straight. I don't quite have the...
Yeah, so when you're around people having Bailey's straight, you're like, whoa, I can't roll with you guys. You're way too hardcore.
Yeah, well, I mean, actually on the weekend, some of the friends were doing shots, and I was there sipping my curly straw with the milked down Bailey's in it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it quite lived up to the same level of partying.
Well, are you going to order again?
Well, you know what? I think I should. Alice, you think I should just ignore this embarrassment, go to a different bar this weekend and go to the Bailey's with milk? You think it's something I should stick with?
I think you should go to the same bar and order Bailey's with milk as a power stance.
Yeah, and just stare them straight in the eyes. Give me the milky dom.
Give me the
dead straight.
I mean, you've come up with this name for it.
Yeah, I keep bringing it up because I want it to stick.
Okay. Well, milky doms are on me this weekend, everybody.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
We are making sausage by Bunnings. It is a Bunnings sausage sizzle themed cologne scented perfume. Mm. We've got a company called Scent Australia on board. They say it is possible to make. They're checking with their overseas perfume makers at the moment. We've sent them a list of things that it needs to smell like, which was focus grouped.
Yep. It's all tracking really smoothly at this stage. We're being told that by Christmas we should have a bottle of this, if all goes well, in our hands. I don't see any problems. Everything couldn't be going better.
Well, I see a big problem.
What's the problem?
I've thought of this today.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what the issue is? We are making the world's most attractive perfume.
That's true.
The perfume that's going to attract people like a moth to light.
I see the problem. I see your point. What's the problem with that, though? I see only positives.
Well, we have producer Jack Jr. He's in charge of global relations. And Jack Jr., you've been liaising with the international perfumers over this, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been looking at the date clocks and aligning all the times. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's been difficult.
My understanding is that we're going to have it shipped over. Is that correct?
Yes.
Do you see the issue here, Dom?
Oh, hang on.
So the scent, the world's most attractive scent...
It's vulnerable.
...is going to be on a ship.
Yeah.
Do you know what else are in the ocean?
Yeah.
Pirates.
That's true. And you know what pirates love? A sausage sizzle.
Don't they?
Yeah.
Well, because it's hard to cook things on the ship.
It is. It is. I've never been to a sausage sizzle and not seen a pirate. So I see what you're talking about. This is
what I'm thinking.
Cargo.
I'm thinking, so we have this cargo ship.
Yep, yep.
Come across the ocean.
Yeah, we do.
Just wafting the world's most attractive scent.
Oh, no.
Across the sea breeze. That's and what so are you true. Doing if you're a pirate and you're cruising around?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, what am I going to steal today? Hello. What's that scent?
Sausages.
Oh, set sail over there.
Yeah, this is an enormous problem.
Starboard!
But what else can we do?
To the bow!
Okay.
I don't know, are those sailing terms?
I think you're using all the boat terms, you know. Someone's showing off they went to the Maritime Museum over the weekend.
I did, actually. It's a good time.
Okay, so...
I really like the tugboat they have on display there.
Yeah, okay.
I actually asked my wife, how much do you reckon it is to buy? And she said, too much. And I go, well, I don't think that many people would be interested in tugboats.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking of doing it up.
Okay, we're getting sidetracked. Unless
wouldn't that be cool, though? It would be 1920s cool. Tugboat and
well,
you do it up?
What if we got you on a tugboat to personally defend the Sausage
by
Bunnings
thinking.
Stock?
Now we are thinking.
Yep.
Because what you'd need is an ocean-going tugboat, I learned, at the Maritime Museum. Because sure. Some tugboats can only go on rivers.
Sure.
We'd need an ocean-going one, and that way I can pull us out of any trouble.
That's a great point. That's a great point. I could also
probably fight the pirates off a little bit by coming in between the ships.
Here are some other options that are just coming to my mind. Could we involve the Navy? You know what I mean?
Yeah, we could get like an escort.
Some sort of an escort, like a police escort with Navy boats all the way around.
Mm.
Could we send it by plane?
That's probably the smartest one, yeah.
Send it by plane? I mean,
Are there sky pirates?
I don't think they're sky pirates. That'd be impressive.
It's interesting that pirates were never able to adapt to air travel, were they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, not really that interesting. There's a whole bunch of logistical reasons, I think. You could easily, well, I don't want to give anyone ideas, but you could easily sky pirate a hot air balloon.
Ah, that's true.
If you had a slightly faster hot air balloon,
yeah,
you could easily
smash them in together, put a plank between the two,
jump on board.
The problem is, I don't think hot air balloons are often carrying bounties.
We could take some tourist cameras or something.
It's like, oh, there's a bottle of champagne and some strawberries.
That's true. Okay, all right. So what are we going to do about the piracy risk?
Well, number one is I'm in a escort tugboat.
Yep.
Number two is Navy escort.
Sure.
And number three is we just send it by plane. Right. Jack Jr., you have an idea?
I've already got this sorted, gentlemen.
What's happening?
Don't stress.
Yeah.
The bottles are going to be in a crate that is going to be locked and that's going to be surrounded by the crew when they're sleeping, who have been working all day, really sweaty, really awful. They're not going to know it. We've masked
the scent. It's a hidden
scent.
Disguised
it's a masked scent. Yep. It's the lesser successful masked singer.
It's a great idea. Well, I mean, the problem's been solved. The problem's been solved. It will be totally masked. Mm. It will get here safely. Mm. We shouldn't have a problem. If you do, however, hear of pirates stealing any fragrances on the high seas over the next few weeks,
you'll know what it is. Also, stay tuned for Pirates of the Caribbean Hot Air Balloon Edition coming to cinemas soon.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
This is Dom Explains Everything.
Each night I come into the radio studio and I hear the wisdom of my co-host, Dom. And I think this has to go on air.
Yeah.
The world needs to hear this. And that's why sometimes we get Dom on air to explain things.
That's not really what you think. You think I sometimes have holes in my logic. And you like to, like an archaeologist, dig.
Mm.
You get in there, you dig, you set up a grid.
No.
Found something over here.
Sometimes you have brain farts. Yeah. And what I like to do is jar those farts.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to give it a go because I still think every time we do this segment, which isn't often, but when we do, I still think it's a chance for redemption.
That's the thing, isn't it? You back yourself here.
I do. And if I get them all right, you'll be like, oh, that wasn't fun. It was just boring radio, but Dom looked smart. So what do you got for me?
So, Dom, you have three things to explain tonight.
Yep.
Your first thing to explain is the world's oldest mammal.
So you want me to tell you what the world's oldest mammal is?
Actually, you know what? I'll tell you. It's a whale. How old do you think it is?
Which one?
What do you mean?
Like which whale?
The world's oldest whale.
So the one that's still alive today?
No, just historically. The species that's the oldest. It's really, I don't really care about that. I just want you to know how old.
How long ago was the first whale? I don't understand what you're asking me.
How old
is
the oldest whale
of all time is? What's the question? I think I'm asking valid questions.
Well, you know how humans, average lifespan, 70 to 80 years.
Sure.
Translate that to whales.
Yeah.
The oldest species, what do you think they go to?
On average, you don't see many like whale carcasses.
Well, not you because you never go to the beach.
Do you see whale carcasses?
No, but they're not super uncommon.
Aren't they? Oh, that's sad. I guess everything dies. sorry, that's a little bit dark for this time of night. Okay, I reckon whales live 400? 500?
Jeez, man. What? That's a long time.
I don't know.
500 years?
Is that what it is?
No.
Oh, wow.
Didn't you hear this?
No, but then you said 500 years. I thought that might have been...
Well, it was 200 years, the bowhead whales. They found some of them with harpoons from 200 years ago lodged in their backs. So, you know, from like early whaling, I thought that was impressive. But when you've said 500, it really makes my 200 seem pretty poor.
Well, that's not too bad. I was in the vicinity.
All right.
What's your next one?
What's the world's tallest tree?
Tallest tree in meters?
And I don't mean specific. Actually, I do mean specifically. They found one that was really tall.
You want me to tell you like it was the New York oak tree?
No,
or
no,
you
it was discovered in 2006. How tall was it?
Okay. Well, I'm just thinking of the tallest trees I've seen. They would be, 25 metres.
25 metres.
Yep.
115.
That's impressive.
Isn't it?
That's pretty, where's that one?
In America, you know, like the red oaks, I think they are.
Lovely.
The redwoods, sorry.
Interesting.
They can grow to 91 metres, who's around average, they found one 115.
That's fascinating. That's the length of a football field.
Thank you.
Sorry, just to help.
That's a good little insight.
Yeah, how wide are they? How wide are the trunks?
I don't know. They're pretty wide. Have you seen those photos of them?
Are the ones you could build a house inside like squirrels do.
Yeah. Well, a squirrel doesn't need one that big.
Well, that's true.
Obviously. But yeah, I guess one could build a house inside it like a fairy tale.
Not too long ago, I genuinely did think squirrels like fashioned themselves little homes inside, like including windows and a cooker.
How old were you at the time?
Oh, like 18, 19.
A cooker?
Well, I don't know. Like, you know the image of squirrel living in a tree with a little window and stuff?
From cartoons?
Yeah. I thought that's how squirrels lived.
Where did they get the glass from?
I didn't know.
Was it reclaimed glass or was someone fashioning the glass?
It wasn't something I'd stopped and thought about.
Obviously.
Yeah. Move on to the next one.
Our last one in Dom Explains Everything is how long does it take to get to the moon?
Via Well, I guess Rocket.
Tom Brockett's the only choice at the moment. Yeah. You can't take Uber, unfortunately. When you say on your Google Maps, would you like to walk public transport or car? There's no Rocket.
So, question. Do all Rockets travel relatively the same pace?
No.
Okay, well, that throws a curveball.
Well, actually, I don't know.
I would guess, because I'm pretty sure they left the same day they did the moon landing. So, 6 hours? Four hours. To the moon.
4 hours from Earth to the moon?
Yeah.
3 days.
Oh, that's a long trip.
Isn't it?
Long haul flight.
What would you chat about?
For 3 days, I wouldn't want to think what my gluten intolerance would be doing.
Is that why you couldn't be an astronaut?
Yeah, that's the reason.
It's not the physics.
No, no.
It's not the physical ability. I mean, there's a lot that's checking you out. It is a good point that you say, though, isn't it? Mm. 3 days. We're complaining about a 12-hour flight.
Yeah.
They're stuck in a capsule for 3 days.
Yeah, and then there's nothing to see when you get there.
On the moon.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Wouldn't impress me.
Okay. Collective Noun. Late nights. Hey, I heard this was cheese. What a letdown.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Found something pretty unusual in my letterbox today, Zach. I was going through it, and, you know, I mean, I've heard all the classic stitch-ups, put poo in the letterbox, that sort of stuff.
What? Has that happened to you?
People putting dog poo in a bag in the letterbox.
Has that happened to you?
Yeah. That's a common stitch-up.
Was that targeted? Like, was it random, or did they know that you live there?
No,
never had that.
You know, it's the whole thing of burning poo.
Yeah, I understand that one. And I think that's just in American movies, isn't it?
I've not had that one, but I have had dog poo put in the letterbox once.
Oh, no. Who's the prankster? Good one, guys. Guys, are you watching in the bushes?
Well, anyway, this one was a very different sort of prank. Have a look. I was going through the mail, going through all the various bills and stuff, and I saw this had been put in my letterbox.
Is this safe to touch? You're passing this piece of paper over.
Yes, we did. We did.
Is there any dog poo on
it? We sanitized the letterbox after the dog poo incident. Say what you're
seeing.
It's
a bit of scrap of paper.
Yeah.
And it says, handwritten, have a great day, smiley face. They've drawn an emoji.
Isn't that a bit of a bizarre... Like, I was trying to think about the idea. I felt a bit actually cold-hearted because initially my thought was, what trick's being played on me here? Do you know what I mean? I didn't think how sweet. I thought...
Have you folded up like that?
Yes, I thought. It was
just folded neatly.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you scrunched it up a little bit.
No. It was in there quite neat, actually. And initially I thought, is this a salesperson? You know, real estate agents pull all these different tricks.
Yeah, but I mean, how could it be? Because... There's no other details on it.
Well, because it might win goodwill, and then when they come door to door the next day, we're the ones who said, have a nice day.
Right. Sort of I mean, maybe. I don't know if that's going to work.
Maybe it's a stretch. I was just thinking afterwards that I don't need sentiments delivered by mail. I'm not sure I need that. Do you know what I mean? Like, good luck in your exam.
Why not?
Hope you have a good haircut.
I thought it's a nice thing. Not eating into your date or what? You're upset that someone left a nice note in your letterbox?
I was cynical because I have had in the past dog poo put in there.
Yeah, I haven't. So I'm in a dog poo free world at the moment where I'm thinking everything in my letterbox is delightful.
Right. No, see, in my world, I was thinking who's done this and what's their game?
Because I feel like letters these days, never good.
That's true.
They're always bills. So
all the good stuff has gone
online. To open the letterbox. Yeah. And find something good in there. Isn't that exciting?
I suppose. Okay, so you're saying that you would like to see this become more of a thing. People going door to door, dropping sentiments. What sentiments could you see in a letterbox? Because, I mean, people
could
do this. I like
your yard. I've been thinking of doing that.
Have you?
Well, I walk past the same gardens every day.
Yeah, actually.
And I do like people's gardens. And so I feel like it would be nice if someone said that to me and left a note saying, hey, I really like your nice front garden. I'd be really happy about
that. It is actually funny you say that because I've just realized I'm a hypocrite because I did this a couple of years ago.
What did you do?
For Christmas lights.
You said what? You said nice Christmas lights.
Love the Christmas lights. Brilliant Santa location or something like that. And I went around and
Okay. The general comment of like the Christmas lights.
Yeah.
I'm on board with that.
Mm.
The specific feedback is where it gets confusing. what in your mind, there's a good place to put the Santa and a bad place. And that will significantly impact how the lights are enjoyed.
The house I put that particular one, they'd put Santa in the upstairs window. So it looked like he was climbing into the house. It was really well done.
A bit of a clever one.
And I took a little notepad around and would write a note for every Christmas lights display I saw.
Dom's reviews.
That's different though, because that's specific. And
also, they've probably heard of you.
Yeah,
so it was like, oh my goodness. goodness, Dom Faye's left us a...
No, but also, your lawn one specific, have a great day, is vague. It's what the person says to you at the checkout when you're leaving.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, this didn't help me have a great day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
They're going to be devastated to hear that. If they went to all that effort.
If they'd said, beautiful house, or we love the plants you've just planted out the front, that would have meant something. But have a great day.
I feel like
I have got junk mail sentiments. Do you know what I mean? It's the junk mail equivalent of a nice sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, look, they didn't leave a return to sender, so I can't send it back.
Why don't you write on it? They've obviously been past your letterbox. So it stands to reason that they might walk past again.
That's true.
Sticky tape it to the front
and
you write a response underneath saying, I didn't. Too generic.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
For legal reasons, I'm about to leave the room and I'm going to invite my friend in. Toastman Zach, Toastman Zach. Toastman Zach gonna give it a crack. We're cooking things in a toaster.
Later in the evening, toasting something pleasing. Hope he doesn't end up with a burnt hand.
This is a segment where we invite Toastman Zach in to cook something in a toaster. The idea is to show you what you can prepare at your place of work.
Okay, Zach, so can you just leave?
I've already left.
We'll see you in a few. Oh, this is. Oh, we got Toastman Zach now.
I'm Toastman Zach.
Toastman Zach.
Obviously, for legal reasons, this isn't Zach doing this.
No.
We have come close to burning down the building on a number of occasions.
Yes, we have.
This is a separate person, Toastman Zach. And if the radio station is listening, any legal problems have to go through that person.
There was one very scary moment, literally quite scary. I'm not exaggerating this or playing it up. A couple of months ago, where the studio did fill with smoke.
Yeah, because we do have a toaster in here.
My eyes were watering.
Toastman Zach. We're going to give it a crack.
And I mean, the ventilation's pretty good here. I am still concerned the fact that these fire alarms, the smoke alarms, sorry, are sprinklers and they could go everywhere. But we'll cope.
We've successfully cooked previously is most famously probably hash browns.
Yep.
Three cycles on the highest level. Cook perfectly. We've cooked spring rolls. Edible. Not perfect.
Sure.
We've cooked pizza. That one didn't really work.
That was the smoke.
The fire.
Yeah, that was... Because
the cheese melted down into the bottom.
A lot of cheese and toppings did melt to the bottom and catch fire. But that's okay, because tonight, I think you've learned Toastman Zach from your mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know...
Toastman Zach, gonna give it a crack.
Tonight, what we're giving a crack, Dom, is wedges. And I'm confident with wedges, actually,
wedges sounds good. And can I just say, I feel like I've noticed wedges disappearing off menus lately.
Have you? Well, these are called pub-style wedges. I bought them from Coles.
Well, I swear there was a stage there where you would see wedges as often as chips on a menu. You know what I think's taken their place? Sweet potato chips.
Oh, I hate sweet potato chips.
I don't mind a sweet potato chip, but I swear to you, you go to any eatery, what you'll see these days is you'll see sweet potato chips on the menu. You ask, can I have wedges and sour cream? They'll look at you like you're an idiot.
Do you know what's the problem with sweet potato? If they don't get the same crispiness, they're always soggy.
I don't know why
always.
That is. Why can't you do them crispy?
Well, they're not the same material. You know, it's a different vegetable. It's like, why can't you make broccoli chips?
Well, they can actually. I've had them before.
No, those were like, that was just fried, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was deep, deep fried.
What I'm doing, my technique with these wedges is I'm putting them on a skewer. Because a lot of you would notice that the difficulty with toasting things is getting them out of the toaster.
That's it.
So these are wooden skewers,
They look like good wedges,
too. Don't try this at home. Toastman Zach does it, so you don't need to.
And it's important to note that while Toastman Zach's in here, Zach, the usual host of the show, is out of the studio, totally abiding by all fire safety and HR laws.
Yeah, road rules as well.
Yeah. Zach's a lovely guy.
Here we go.
All right, so we got, how many wedges are we putting into the toaster here?
Toastman Zach likes to do is gets a good cross section.
You're talking about yourself in the third person. That's interesting.
We're just going to go to the highest level.
Okay.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Oh no, I don't know what's just happened. We invited Toastman Zach into studio and...
Toastman Zach, Toastman Zach, Toastman Zach gonna give it a crack.
We tried to... Toastman Zach tried to cook some wedges in a toaster and... I think it shorted out the whole building.
We hope this is going to air. Look at Jack Jr. Are we going to air? I think we're going to air at the moment.
Every computer and every screen in the room, including the radio desk, which usually is full lit up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
They all went dead.
I thought initially we'd had a blackout. I thought maybe there'd been some sort of a blackout.
I thought the radio station had like backup generators and things like
that. Yeah, so did
I. Toastman Zach was the thing to bring us down?
We were on air and we were on air. You put the wedges in the toaster and the moment you started the toasting cycle.
No, not me. It's important to point out legally. It wasn't me. It was Toastman Zach.
The moment Toastman Zach started the cycle,
Yes. Everything
just went black. It was actually kind of terrifying.
Now. I overheard the conversation with producer Jack Jr. calling a tech. Now, there's no techs in the building at the moment. We have to wake them up. So keep that in mind. Yeah. But I can only hear one side of the conversation. And I hear Jack Jr. go, oh, hi. Yeah. So we plugged a toaster in. A toaster. I'm assuming, Jack, that wasn't what they were expecting, having to point out that you had to clarify a toaster.
Wasn't exactly well received, is how I'd put it.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard that this is through the grapevine.
Yes.
This was from our tech, through Jack Jr. to me.
Yeah.
But apparently that was the stupidest thing we could have done. Is that correct, Jack Jr.?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's really...
And was it that exact language?
Exact.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I just say, it really...
I thought there might have been a few colourful words in there.
I know the tech's on their way in to fix this up. Someone's been woken up and they're driving in. I just want to say while they're doing that, I can't believe Toastman Zach would do that.
And then he just ran away.
Just ran away.
He's not here anymore.
And as a show, I think you and I...
What are we meant to do?
I mean, I feel let down. Do you feel let down by him?
Toastman Zach, stick around to face the tech guy.
Yeah, I know.
Who's really angry on his way in at the moment.
Because it's not our fault.
It's not our fault.
It's Toastman Zach's
now
fault.
Now we're going to have to... The tech guy's going to have to come in. We're going to have to say, sorry, man, don't know what to tell you. He just ran away.
Okay,
see if we can get the old girl fired up again.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Zach, just before we do go tonight, I need to let you know I've been having a bit of difficulty sleeping lately. I keep having this recurring nightmare. I've had it 6 times in the past 4 weeks, and that's pretty common for a recurring nightmare.
Yeah.
Basically, in the recurring nightmare, and I swear to God this is true, what happens is I realize that it is December 24, Christmas Eve, at about 10 p.m. at night, and it hits me that I've missed the whole Christmas build-up, and I wake up in a sweat screaming.
You have recounted this nightmare in previous years.
That's the amazing thing. This is, I think, the 4th or 5th year I've had this nightmare. Mm. It's come back to me again. Every year in about September, I start having this recurring nightmare. Clearly, the scariest thing to my mind, my brain, is the idea of missing the days from December 1 to December 24 and missing the Christmas build-up.
That sounds delightful.
What do you mean sounds
delightful? That's the scariest thing you can think of? That your brain can conjure?
Yes. Honestly, Zach, if you said to me, would you like to be chased by, like, I don't know, someone very scary for the night, like a ghost or something? Mm. Would you rather be chased by a ghost and fear for your life or miss the 25 days building up to Christmas? I'd pick the ghost. Because then I get through the ghost and I can celebrate Christmas.
These are conversations they always just kind of grind to a halt.
Yes.
Because you find it difficult to communicate what you like about Christmas. And so it's quite hard because someone listening is like, oh, what do you mean he likes Christmas? And then I ask you and you can't really tell me why. All we can say is you really, really like Christmas. And it must be on some subconscious level because you don't know why. It's like that you are coming out of a coma and only a few of the electrodes have been in your brain are firing. Like, you have certain memories, but you don't know why.
Shut up. It's not like
that. It is.
No, it's the happiness, the warmth, the togetherness.
Yes, but I mean, everyone says that Christmas is happy and warm and together.
It's the best time of the year.
Yes,
it's in
everyone says that. But not everyone is having nightmares on December 24 that they're waking up and they miss the build-up.
It's seriously, Zach. I woke up my whole family the other day screaming, ah! And, like, Dad ran in and he said, what's wrong? And I said, I just had a nightmare. Mm. Didn't tell him what the nightmare was. The nightmare was I was going to sleep and I saw the Christmas tree and realized it was Christmas Eve and I'd missed Christmas. I really think this is starting to become a problem. I don't think that's what you should be having recurring nightmares about.
Yes. I mean, this is 5 years into our friendship.
Yeah.
I've said this to you every year.
Yeah.
This is a problem.
So, I mean, I don't know. I know that you've often spoken to me. You've read up on sleep before. What do you reckon I should do to get through this nightmare? What should I do?
I think this year you should sleep through Christmas.
Hibernate.
You should expose yourself to the fear.
Exposure therapy.
Yeah.
Okay, so miss the whole Christmas build up.
Make it come to reality and then you'll show your...
Yeah.
You can show how you can beat it.
Are you just saying that?
Yes.
Because if I do that, it means you don't have to hear me talk about Christmas?
100%. Let's give you some sleeping pills. Oh, I just thought of a great radio prank.
Yeah.
What happens if we could convince you that you slept through it? Well, just like we go to your house,
set up
and
Christmas
then, like,
trees.
We, yeah, we, but like, and then like, just like paper wrapping all on the ground. Everyone's in Santa hats, all your family, whatever you do on Boxing Day.
That's like an apocalyptic scenario for me.
And you would walk down and you'd say, oh no, it's happened. That's all the time we have for the show tonight. If you missed anything, just grab the podcast by searching for Collective Down on iTunes or downloading the Hit app. Tom and Ollie coming up next. We'll be back Monday from 11. See you then. Bye.
That's all from Collective Noun. Grab podcasts and videos online on Facebook at Collective Noun Comedy.